guest speaker this morning is Sam Fowler here, who I shall ask out in a minute. Sam is the recently appointed director of CYO, Christian Youth Outreach. And this church, I think, has supported CYO since its inception about 30 years ago. And Sam will kindly explain a little bit about what CYO does for those who don't know, but also about, I've asked him to perhaps just share a little bit about his faith journey, which led him to be director of CYO. So Sam, do you come forward? So Sam, for those who don't know, what is CYO and what does it do?
So CYO, as explained, stands for Christian Youth Outreach. So we work in the local schools in Colchester. We support students and staff with chaplains. And so that our whole purpose of being in schools is to provide pastoral care for students and staff, but also opportunities to explore the Christian faith as well. So that could be through one-to-one mentoring, could be through lessons, lunch clubs, and also through Sanctum, our prayer spaces as well. So that's what we do.
But you also do a little bit with primary schools.
We do lots with primary schools across all of Colchester and out into the surrounding villages. Joe Wood is our primary schools coordinator, and we do prayer spaces within primary schools as well. We have just recently developed a course that helps year six students think about entering into adolescence and thinking about their values, their morals, their trajectory, their purpose in life. And we support other churches who are doing It's Your Move and other transition spaces as well.
Yeah, and how is CYO funded? I mean, where's the money come from?
Where's the money come from? The money comes from very, very generous churches and individuals who give regularly towards our work. So thank you to this church for supporting for many, many years. And for those individuals who give as well. But that's where the money comes from. And if you would like to give this morning and you don't currently, I've got some forms, or if you'd like to sign up to our newsletters as well, please do let me know and we can get you informed on all the brilliant stuff that's going on in schools.
So how have you become to be director? Where's your faith journey which led you to this position now, after all?
How long have we got? So I was brought up in an Anglican church in Romford, and it was instilled to me from a young age all of the stories. But to me, my faith hadn't come alive until I was about 14, when a friend kept reaching out to me and invited me to this church, and that's eventually where it clicked for me that I needed to make a personal response to follow Jesus. So I remember saying to my parents, why did you never tell me? You can see my dad just like, oh, we tried many times. During that time, there was local Christians working within my secondary school. And that's where I saw one of the first ever prayer spaces. As prayer spaces were launching here in Colchester under the name of Sanctum, prayer spaces were launching in Romford as well. And I saw one of the first ones. Through people working in schools. And so that set me on a journey to explore schools ministry. I just saw how much of an impact it had on my life. Long story short, you can ask me more later. Over COVID, my wife and I felt it was time to move from Romford. We were part of the leadership team of an independent church in Romford, and we just felt that it was time for us over COVID to move. It started, we were in a flat, and at the time, my daughter was two, and we were getting pinged all the time. I'm sorry to bring up, this is past trauma for us all, isn't it? We were getting pinged all the time to self-isolate, and we just needed a garden. So we started looking, and eventually the Lord led us to Colchester. We assumed Brentwood, but there you go. God had other plans. And once we moved here, as we were packing our bags to move, I remember Naomi saying, my wife saying, hey, you never know. We might end up in Colchester, and the guy at she didn't know the name of CYO. She didn't know Tim Abbott. She said, "But that guy you've been talking about, maybe he'll step down, and you'll end up back in your dream job in schools work." I was like, "Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Ha ha ha!" Here we are. it was apparently meant to be. So I'm really privileged to to be in this position and to be able to lead the team of brilliant staff and volunteers into schools, and really feel like God's been leading us to this point as a family and me as well into this role. So it's been great.
Sam, thank you ever so much for that. It's really quite inspiring, and I think we should give Sam a round of applause for that.
Thank you.
I mean, you really do need inspiring, uplifting people to have positions like this. And Sam, thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. Talk about uplifting experiences. Joy and I were very privileged to be at Needham Market on a very hot Wednesday evening, when the bishops and the clergy were wearing all their robes and absolutely just about dying in the heat. But Phil's daughter Tracy is going to be a real blessing to where she's gone to. She's a lovely lady, and I think I said my witness that it spoke to me quite a lot that there were so many people from the church where she'd been a curate had turned up there. She's got a personality which engages, which is heartfelt, warming, and it's got a life and a spirit and a sort of a lift to it. And Phil, your daughter's a blessing to you. And, you know, long may that continue. And thank you for looking after us so well. But she'll do great.
I've had the official receipts through from the cancer charity that you also kindly donated to a couple of weeks back. So there's one certificate there for the 200. This isn't to do with the other bit. And Carol's not here, but she gave me some money, so I've got another certificate for her as well. So the money goes up. Thank you all very much.
Lovely.
I'll pin them up on the wall.
Thank you, Audrey. Our weather here wasn't hot enough for Carol. She's gone further south to a hot Spanish island. Lovely. What else has the Lord done for you this week? Perhaps you've seen him at work. Perhaps something has happened this week.
I thought on Thursday, when we went into the school for Open the Book, it was wonderful. Mm. Keith Birkbeck's the new head, and he's so keen that, as I said in my note, he's so keen that he gets really involved with the Open the Book. More of the staff will always be, some of the staff, he's made like a rota for all the staff to be in every other week or something like that. But also, what he wanted to do was to know... Andy was moaning a bit, but never, not really. But it's one in his own joyful way. But it was just wonderful. He wanted to know ahead the themes of what we were talking about in the Open the Book, so they could use it in his own assemblies to sort of reinforce the bits that we've been dealing with. So he can plan ahead for the Monday. We go on Thursday, but for Monday and the Friday. And one of the things he said was that the children repeatedly say that the assembly they like the best is Open the Book. And, when you've been out and about and, you know, children come up and say to the mum, you're an Open the Book, aren't you? Sometimes they don't say they Open the Book, they say something else, but you know what they're talking about. And I thought that was wonderful. And so I'd like to thank Andy for all his hard work. You know, he drills us like terrible, really is. But he's wonderful. And we are very blessed by the way he puts it across for us as well.
Thank you, Andrew. Yes, Keith Birkbeck also gets the staff joining in with the singing and everything and the responses and so on. We've twisted Mark's arm. Mark's going to come and join the Open the Book team. So if any of you would like to consider it, just have a word with Andy Carter or Andrew Waters or myself, and we'd love to consider it. We also take Open the Book into one other school, and we're going to take it into a third one fairly soon. So it's very much a nice, easy way to connect with the children in our area. Lovely.
The first reading can be found on page 1001 in your pew Bibles. And it is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
The second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 22, and you'll find that on page 1182 in the Bibles, page 1182. And it's the supremacy of the Son of God. "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all, over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray for Sam as he comes to speak to us. Father, we ask for your blessing on Sam. Thank you that as we believe you've spoken to him in his preparation, fill him with your spirit now as he speaks to us, and fill us with your spirit that we may hear you today, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Well, it's a real joy and privilege to be asked to share and to preach this morning. So thank you, and thank you already for the warm welcome, but also thank you to those who have been leading the service, for our readers as well, thank you, and for our musicians. Thank you very much. Our readings this morning, two of my favourites in Scripture, particularly the Colossians passage. Some of my favourite, and it speaks to this theme which we'll be looking at today of mission. Now, mission, if you've been around church for a while, you'd have heard this term. It would have come up, and this how we understand Christian mission has changed as time has gone on. So don't worry if this is even your first time at church. That's absolutely fine. We're gonna go together, and we're gonna find out what Christian mission is really all about. So the Oxford Dictionary defines mission as the action of sending someone to a place to do a particular job, an important assignment given to a person or to a group of people. So there are two really important elements to mission: someone with authority sending someone else, and that someone else having a task, something to do, a particular job. Now, throughout the whole big story of the Bible, we see God time and time again sending people. And he sends them on the assignment. The assignment has always been the same: to make sure that there's no longer a gap between humankind and God. Let's do a quick whistle-stop tour on the big story of the Bible. God made all things, and all things he made, and it was very good. And humankind had a perfect relationship with God. And yet, humankind chose, willingly and sometimes unwillingly, to say, no thanks, God. And that's been something that we've inherited. It's part of our part of who we are as humankind. We've inherited that. So willingly or unwillingly, all of us have said no thanks to God, and we've put a gap, a distance in our relationship. We've broken it through our thoughts, our actions, our deeds. And so God's assignment from the beginning of time has always been to send people to say, come back to me. Come back. We can restore this relationship that's been broken. This gap that's between us can be brought to nothing. And so God has sent throughout the whole story of the Bible, prophets, kings, judges, leaders. He sent other significant people, Esther, Ruth, Nehemiah, people who had certain jobs to look after humankind and to try and bring all of us back into right relationship with God. And then God sent Jesus. And Jesus came, he was the big guns. He was the one who was going to do it all, where God's previous plans seemingly hadn't come to pass. And so Jesus comes and he wins the battle over death. The Bible tells us that where we've made mistakes and where willingly or unwillingly, knowingly or unknowingly, we've put distance between us and God, that death is the punishment. And yet Jesus takes that death for us. Jesus came, he lived a perfect life, he died, and he was resurrected. The battle is won. Jesus has made a way for that gap, the chasm between us and God, to be completely restored. But we live in the aftermath. The victory is won, but the outworking of that victory is still to come to pass. And so this is where we land in Matthew 28. At Jesus with the 11 disciples. There were 12, but by this point, Judas has betrayed Jesus. He's now somewhere else. We'll talk about that another time, but he's somewhere else. And so the 11 disciples come to Jesus, and Jesus essentially says, it's done. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and now I send you. Go, work out the rest of this victory that has been won. And what does Jesus say? He says, make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey everything I've commanded, and I'm with you to the very end of the age. And later in the book of Acts, we see Jesus say to his disciples, just before he goes back to heaven, he says in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all of the earth. And all God's people breathed a sigh of relief that we're not doing this job on our own, but that God gives us his Holy Spirit, his power, his presence to undertake this mission, this assignment. Every person that has responded to Jesus, that is trying to follow him, is sent on mission. It's not just for ministers, vicars, pastors, it's not for the well-trained, it's not for the socially astute, it's not for the well-versed, it's not just for those with particular skills, jobs, or financial stability. God is sending all people, as his commission was to his first disciples, make disciples. Well, their commission was to make disciples, because the job of a disciple is to make disciples. And so that falls to us too. But we're not in this alone. I find it incredible to think that God would use us. I don't know if you've ever thought that for a moment, that God in all of his glory, his power, his wisdom, his might, could do it all, click of a fingers, everything. Our social problems, our economic problems, the worldwide problems, everything could be gone in the click of the fingers. And yet he does it with us. And I find that amazing. My family moved to Colchester in March last year, and we've been fixing up a house. And boy, was it a fixer-upper. But we, through all of the different things that we've been doing, my daughter, who's now 4, wanted to be a part of everything. She's inherited that from her mum, that one, we come into a place and we're here, we're going to get the job done. So Evie was there with the hammer taking down the garden wall, and she's been a part of everything. And it's a health and safety nightmare, I'll have you know, but it's great. And I particularly remember stripping the wallpaper. It was really old wallpaper, which if you've ever removed old wallpaper, it has a vinyl front that you can't steam off. So you have to rip off the vinyl front, then you can steam the glue off. It is a nightmare. So Evie wanted to be a part of it. Now, we've developed a technique that if you get the corner just right, you can do the whole wall. Evie gets the corner and just rips it. And she says, Daddy, Daddy, look, I got this much. I got this much. And you're like, oh, the corner's gone. How are we going to get the rest of it? This is going to take ages. But of course, you don't say that, do you? You say, oh, well done, sweetheart. Good job. Come on, we're doing this together. And I think that it's like that with God. He has a much better attitude than me. But I think that that's what it's like with God, that God could do it on his own, but chooses to do it together. Now Evie and I have this shared memory of doing her room, and she had so much joy, and she could see that on our faces, that she was helping, that she was doing something. And I think it's something like that with God as well, that he wants us to be a part of his plan for all of creation. So what's the assignment? The assignment was bringing people back to God. And it's more than that. As we saw in our Colossians passage from verse 20, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself, not just all people. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood. And that includes all of us who were once far from God. Now we have been reconciled. The assignment, the mission, the whole purpose that God has sent each of us on is to bring everything back under Christ's rule. So that means helping people come back into a relationship with God. But that also means so much more than that. And I'd like to just explore what some of those are. People far cleverer than I have come up with the marks of mission, which I find very, very helpful to help us know and focus. So what even is this all about? Because I can't do preaching. I can't invite someone to church. I did that once. It was awkward. I don't know what to do. Well, these marks of mission help us see the broad picture of what it means to be serving God and being on his mission. So here they are. One, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Two, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. Three, to respond to human need in loving service. Four, to transform the unjust structures of society and pursue peace and reconciliation. And five, to sustain and care for God's world. A mouthful. So let's do the one word version of them. Tell, teach, respond, transform, care. That's a lot easier to remember. And I just find this really, really helpful because not only is it challenging to see the areas that perhaps I'm not so natural at being a part of God's mission, but also it's very, very validating to see it counts when. It counts when I asked my neighbour to come along to a church-run event. That counts as mission. It's up to them if they say yes or no, but it counts. It counts when I shared a little bit of my faith story with the rest of my family or with a colleague or with someone that I know in the street. It counts when I offered to pray for someone who was really struggling, even if they didn't have a faith. It counts when you go out of your way to buy someone some food, when you donate to the food bank. It counts when you find the person who's lost in town and you say, oh, I know where that is. Here's the right way. It counts when you sit beside someone who's really struggling and needs support. It counts when you turn up for someone when they're going through a tricky procedure at work or in their personal life. It counts when you change your spending habits to go greener and be more eco-friendly. It counts when you campaign for change. So I hope you're feeling encouraged this morning, St. Andrews. You are doing God's mission. Maybe you just didn't know it. And this is hugely valuable for us, because this preach this morning isn't, come on guys, we've got to do more. Get into the town centre, let's get a soapbox, and let's see what God's going to do. That might be for you. I'm not discounting that. I'm a firm believer in the preaching of the word. But it might also be that you find you've discounted yourself from being a part of God's mission because you thought, oh, I can't speak. I could never do that from the front of church. Oh, I've tried inviting my family members before or reading my grandchildren a bedtime story that's a Bible story. It didn't work. And you've discounted yourself. There are other ways to be a part of God's mission, to bring all things into alignment and under Christ. Because the truth is, out of these five, tell, teach, respond, transform, care, you'll probably be able to do two very well and very naturally. And you know what? That is absolutely fine, because that's what this is about. A community of people who have different natural talents, natural things that they find easy for themselves. Some of you might find it really easy to share what God's been doing in your life. Some of you might find it easier to recognize when someone's in need. Some of you, it makes your blood boil, the stuff that's going on in the local area, the local community, or further afield, and you want to do something about that. It needs all of us to play to our strengths. So not only do I find these marks of mission really validating, but also very challenging, because I think also the call this morning, being a part of God's huge mission and mandate for humankind, is to do it deliberately, to do it on purpose. And I think that's the call this morning, to help us focus our activities, our time, our resources, and to ask God afresh this morning, God, how should I be using my time? How should I be using my interactions with family and friends? What should I be saying in social settings that will bring some light, some life? How should I use my talents, my passions, my possessions, my home? How should I use my car or any of my other resources to bring all things under the Lordship of Christ? How might those things be used to respond to human need, to teach other people, to tell other people the good news of Jesus? I don't know what it is for you, but I'd love just this morning for us to take a second, take a moment to pray and to wait and to ask God how we could play a more intentional, deliberate part in his mission. Holy God, we thank you that you have invited us to be a part of your huge plan and assignment to bring all things back into order, to push back darkness, to bring light and life, peace and hope, reconciliation, to share the good news of Jesus with others, to help people find out more about you and to go deeper, to care for the world around us. Lord, this morning I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would come and speak to us and just nudge us, Lord. Would you encourage us where we've been serving you? But Lord, would you nudge us too? Show us, Lord, where we need to change. Perhaps our mindset, our attitude. Maybe, God, it's courage that we need to open up about our faith with family members and neighbours. Maybe, Lord, it's to lay something down and do something different. Maybe it's to join open the book team. Maybe it's to be more involved in the church events here. Maybe it's to give money to a charity overseas. I don't know. But Lord, I just ask that you would help us to respond to your call. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you for that prayer time, especially at the end there. I heard somebody say once, it's not that the Church of God has a mission, it's rather that we have a God of mission who has a church. Mission is in the heart of our God.